Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest, Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea. Hello there, Secretary.
Good morning.
The Raimondo administration is paying for a $50,000 study on Governor Raimondo's envisioned truck toll plan. This comes ahead of a possible fall session in the House to consider the truck toll proposal. Scott, does this validate House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello's concerns that perhaps the homework had not been done before the governor rolled out her truck toll proposal?
Well, we know she didn't do her homework or this thing probably would have gotten more consideration. On the other hand, Governor Raimondo is probably looking for some more ammunition besides what her own staff has dug up to try to get this thing through. And obviously, we all know that we need some way to invest in infrastructure, our roads and bridges. So it appears to me to be a modest price, actually, for this kind of thing. I assume she hired a consultant who's going to tell her what she wants to hear, which is mostly what happens in these cases.
How about that, Secretary Gorbea? Does this show that Governor Raimondo did not do her homework at the outset on her truck toll plan?
I don't think so. I think that, we all came in come January, and clearly, I mean, I can tell you as a driver on the roads and as well as you that we do have issues with our road infrastructure. And so, you know, you put together those things that are important for the economy, and infrastructure is one of them. I know that on my side of things, I'm looking at building the democracy infrastructure with the new voting equipment. So I don't think it was necessarily not doing her homework. I think she's doing a great job.
Maureen, to Scott's point, do you think this study is just an effort to manufacture consent on the part of the governor?
I certainly think that's part of it. I mean, I think this is something of a face-saving gesture insofar as the speaker has raised the issues of the economic impact. I think this gives them a way to save face. I think what will happen is perhaps the legislation will be tweaked on the margin, but this is a way to get this to move forward. I think this allows them to come together, form an agreement based on, as Scott said, the obvious case that it's going to be supportive, and we can finally move ahead with repairing the roads and bridges.
We're going to go now to some questions for our guest, Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea. Secretary, your proposal this year to reform the state's lobbying law didn't go anywhere in the General Assembly. In the absence of that, is there anything that you can do to stop powerful and influential people from seemingly engaging in lobbying behavior without registering and reporting as lobbyists?
Well, I will say this. We are definitely making sure that the current statutes are being followed and enforced to the extent that we can. Clearly, my lobbying proposal, I think, would have been a way to clarify what is right now, I think, a difficult statute to understand and to follow, and would have provided some actual teeth to it in terms of investigations. So that's why I proposed it. But during this time period, we are following through, and we have put on a lobbying hotline so that if anybody has a concern about somebody lobbying, that we hear about it and follow through. So and have done a lot to make sure that, on the one hand, we make sure that Rhode Islanders are civically engaged, that they know that this is absolutely what they need to be doing, engaging with their government, but then conforming to the current statutes and making sure that we educate people as to the statute that's currently on the books.
If your lobbying proposal had been made into law, is it your view that people like Michael Corso and Patrick Lynch would have had to register as lobbyists?
The hypothetical that you're talking about is a difficult. I mean, a lot of times people will talk about, well, would 38 studios have not have happened? Well, it's hard to say. 38 Studios is not simply a lobbying issue, but I do think that my lobbying reform statute, and one that I'm actually pursuing in the next session and I'm engaging with the leadership, will provide some clarity so that when circumstances like that, where people are before public officials, they know when it is that they need to register and when they don't.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
You know, I know you're approaching to get some new electioneering equipment, new machines. That's fine. But if you can't get people to come to vote, what's the point? What are you trying to do to try to change Rhode Island law so we get in step with the rest of the country on things like early voting, better voting hours, and making it easier and more convenient for people to vote?
Well, I will say that the voting equipment is definitely a step in the right direction.
Yes.
Because if we can do things like electronic poll books and we can get rid of paper poll books. That will facilitate, for example, lines at the polling place. One of the reasons people don't get up and go vote is because it's going to take too much time. If we can facilitate that day of election and make sure that it's painless, the equipment really does matter. Yes, there are other things that we are going to continue to speak with the legislature about, like early in-person voting, cleaning up the voter rolls to make sure that we have accurate numbers. Because, you know, you can talk about dismal numbers, but if we have a lot of people on the voting rolls that shouldn't be there, that's going to depress our numbers. So we're hard at work at that. And the voting equipment is only the first step.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
I have a related question. When you talk about online registration and facilitating voting and actually early voting, how does your longstanding opposition to voter ID fall into this? Don't you think having voter ID would give more credibility, particularly when you're expanding these opportunities to vote?
I don't think so. I think
so. You are still opposed to it.
But I still believe that it was a solution looking for a problem. And as I said before on this show and in other interviews, we are looking at engaging with some academic researchers that look at voting patterns to see if indeed this has had a depressing impact, like I hypothesize or
but
not.
You don't know for sure.
But we don't know for sure. And I will be honest about that. I think we have to be very honest on these very controversial issues. So I do want to engage in some analysis of the voter turnout numbers since voter ID has passed and look at what it tells us.
The Raimondo administration approved a contract earlier this summer with unionized daycare workers represented by the Service Employees International Union. The deal includes a raise of 1-4% next year, a 3% raise this year, and the free computers. Critics say the agreement is too generous and sets a precedent that will cost taxpayers a lot more in the long run. Are they right, Maureen?
I think I support the idea of professionalizing this group of daycare workers, and I also think that we need quality daycare. I do understand that some people are concerned because this is becoming a state-run enterprise, and to the extent that there's any further developments that link these workers to pensions and so forth, I think people have the right to be wary. But initially, as the governor has set out this agreement, I think it's worthwhile, and I think it helps daycare, and I also think it helps professionalize a group of people to get into the system.
Secretary Gorbea, is the unionization of these private daycare workers a good thing for the state?
I think what's good for the state is investing in these people that are dealing with our children. And I say this as a working mom who actually did have her children in a home daycare and saw the quality and the improvements that happen when you do invest in the training of the home daycare mom and dads and that we have out there. This is an absolutely critical economic development program for our state.
Last word on the subject to Scott.
This seems fair. These people have been these people have been underpaid for quite some time. It would be really good to professionalize them and give them a living wage to the best extent we can.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.